right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce. As always, joined by my good buddy, Brendan Veman. Brendan, how are you doing, my man?
I am doing great. I am feeling that bullish breeze in the air. The crypto market is looking good. But I really am doing great. I'm loving the way that the market's moving. I'm loving everything that's kind of going on, and excited for this podcast that we got in store.
Likewise, man. I first heard about Redstone maybe a couple months ago. They were raising some money. There was some talk between some of the hedge fund guys. And so Redstone burst onto the scene doing DeFi oracles and really just an incredible team. So we brought on the co-founder and COO, I apologize for the mispronunciation. I'm going to give it my best shot. Marcin Kazmierczak, who is the co-founder and COO. I'm getting a round of applause from him over there. Marcin, how are you doing?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Really good job on pronunciation. I'm doing fantastic, calling from Warsaw, Poland. Thank you for having me.
Beautiful. And I've been to Warsaw. I've been to Warsaw when I studied abroad, and we did a little a weekender over in Warsaw. And I actually really liked the town. We did that, and we did Poznan as well. And I remember learning about, I think it was the crying queen, the ghost of the queen that lived there and haunted the city. Very enchanting town. How's the crypto scene in Poland?
Growing. So as we will unveil later, I'm also organizing a conference and hackathon over here in Warsaw. And the main goal is to grow the crypto and DeFi scene here in Poland. I would say right now it's mainly around developers because we have excellent engineers. But increasingly also the go-to-market people, because I believe the mix is important, that we don't only have neither only tech people nor only BD people. There has to be like a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the best conferences are always, at least in my opinion, because I'm more on the BD side, biz dev, you know, you're doing the marketing and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas the developers are, they're coding and they're, you know, deep in it. But I always found the best conferences are when you have a little combination of both. You get to learn from the devs who are smart enough to be able to break it down into simple terms that the BD guys could understand. The BD guys, and they go talk to the devs and they say, here's what we actually need. Here's what the customers are demanding. Let's build this and enough of the other stuff. So it seems like right now, you know, we're kind of coming out of a bear market cycle where there's been lots of new developments. Folks, ever since, you know, the market topped out in November 2021, folks who were fast money here just for a quick flip, they're gone. They got washed out in the 80, 90% drawdowns across Bitcoin and altcoins, but the builders remained. And so for the past couple of years, we were calling it a builder's market. And what we have now, which I think Redstone is a great example of, is people who were builders during that period, and now you are coming to market. So we want to learn about kind of your story, the story of Redstone in particular, a little bit about how you guys came up with the genesis of the idea, maybe how you guys navigated the bear market and remained confident, and then came out the other side raising, you know, good sums of money and having some incredible products in a strong team.
Of course, happy to. So about myself, I joined crypto scene in late 2017. So I started like December. So that was like ICO boom. I saw the first bubble to burst over there.
2017 was a good year.
Hey, I wrote my bachelor thesis in 2018 about blockchain and Bitcoin because I got excited about the technology. I graduated quantitative methods in economics. So very much aligned with tokenomics and basically creating monetary policy out of your computer, which is super, super interesting. Then started working in one of the crypto blockchain companies that unfortunately went bust and I didn't get 3 months of salary. So that was like a pretty hard start. Then went to work in Web2 World as a PM in Google Cloud. And in 2020, my good fellow Jacob Wojciechowski reached out to me with an idea of an innovative Oracle design where you don't need necessarily to burn money on pushing data on chain, like in a traditional Oracle model popularized by Chainlink. And I had little hesitation, joined him Then in 21, we did our pre-seed race, in 22, our seed, and now in 24, our Series A round. And we are growing very fast. And as you mentioned, out of the builder market, right now we are focusing a lot about adoption, what people actually want to receive and are excited about. Throughout the burr, I would say we managed to do two things brilliantly. One is to keep the team small, so we didn't have much burn, rather like very dedicated people, agile team that could execute fast. And the second one is we launched our alpha first alpha version of mainnet in January 2022, and then the mainnet version, the final one, in January 23. So actually, post this bearish first sentiments, we're ready to go and conquer the market.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Oracle space is a fascinating one because we say Oracles, the average person probably uses them every day, especially companies, but mm-hmm. I still feel like the average investor kind of overlooks it, right? Maybe it's not the most flashy, exciting things. People go, oh, well, I can whip up a new form of AI, or I can, you know, fill in the blank. There's a hot new crypto game, or there's a meme coin. And that can be really flashy and in your face. But when it comes to the subject of oracles, it is of the utmost infrastructure and importance when it comes to the crypto market. And that's what I want everyone to kind of walk away with from this episode, is understanding the crucial roles that oracles play. So I think what better person to have explained that than you? You know, how are we and institutions and companies and projects, how are we using oracles, and what really is their role when it comes to the crypto space?
Thanks, a really good one to start with. So oracles are fundamental for DeFi. I would even claim that no DeFi protocol beside like traditional DEXs like Uniswap would operate to its capacity without oracles. So historically in the past, okay, what oracles are? Oracles are infrastructures that deliver data feeds, various types of data. Currently, it's mainly price information about both the traditional and crypto assets, so that the DeFi protocols know how to value specific positions. So if you create a borrow position on a lending protocol, or like a perp position on a perpetual DEX, or you borrow stablecoin, for example, from Liquity or MakerDAO, so that the protocol actually knows what's the value of the collateral you're locking, and also what's the value of the position you're borrowing, right? So the ratio can be kept efficiently. But in general, oracles are delivering data feeds. It can be also other types of data. Historically, before 2018, 2019, protocols were doing it themselves, but it turned out to be a very easy single point of failure, either not to maintain it well or for a hacker to create a manipulation that is very lucrative. Therefore, roughly in 2020, Chainlink got very well adopted in the DeFi space. They did a really good job popularizing some of the good practices, creating like oracles. And right now, I'd say there are a couple of very reasonable and solid players on the Oracle market. Naturally, Chainlink is still the leader, but we as Redstone in 2024 are the quickest growing Oracle and trying to deliver what the market is actually asking for.
Yeah, I mean, we've all heard the saying, right? Knowledge is power. I think we can kind of tweak that and say data is power in a scenario like this one. And I think it's true. There's so much data that gets processed through blockchain tech. And the cool part is that the vast majority of it is all publicly available. Now, the average person, they're not going to understand what it all means. They're not going to understand how to look through it all. Heck, they're probably not going to, even if they did, they probably don't have the time to sift through it all. And I think that's really where oracles come in here, is that it empowers data and it empowers the users and the projects and businesses for a variety of reasons to really digest that and use that information. And I like what you said, is that you said, hey, we saw this really get adopted mainstream in 2020, but you kind of came in and said, you know, there's a couple of ways that we think that this can be better. You mentioned security. And so I want to hear from you, you know, what are some of those ways that you are tweaking oracles to have that next generation? You know, we've heard of DeFi 1.0, DeFi 2.0, you know, et cetera, and we see the crypto space evolving. How do you, you know, let's just call this oracles 2.0, right? The evolution of crypto oracles. You know, what do you see changing there?
First, let me take a step back. And what you said is a very interesting one, because oracles don't necessarily serve the users directly so much about unpacking the hidden truth or patterns in the data itself. About that, I would rather say companies like Nansen, Messari, Kaito, so yeah, analytics companies are doing that job more. With oracles, it's way more about smart contracts. So smart contracts, how they operate is based on a specific input, they execute autonomously without an interference of any third party. And as long as this input is living natively on the chain where smart contract is based on, then everything is fine. You don't need an oracle. To give you an example, imagine you are sending to another address ETH on Ethereum mainnet, for example, then a smart contract should trigger. This is fine. It doesn't need an oracle because the transaction on Ethereum lives on Ethereum. But if the trigger should be the moment Bitcoin hits $100,000, that should be delivered by an oracle. Because if the smart contract we are talking about over here is, for example, let's call it protecting $1 billion, then the value of potential attack of this input of this oracle is very, very huge, right? So I would say oracles, like the most important thing that they deliver is the accuracy and reliability of the data. Like you cannot have a downtime, neither you can allow any party to tamper with that data. So this is like the backstone, I would say, backbone of the oracle market.
Yeah, and it's wildly important.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just going to say, like, to have those really reliable data feeds, because you could just see, for instance, like, what comes to my mind is all these prediction markets, like Polymarket, for instance. It comes out and it says, you know, we'll pay out the winner $1 million. Whoever guesses, for instance, the temperature on the day of the Super Bowl or whatever. And it's like, okay. And people go and they guess, and then, you know, people could, you know, technically just say, okay, well, where are you getting the data from? weatherchannel.com. Okay, great. And then if somebody was really, really smart, they could go hack weatherchannel.com for that specific data point that they're pulling and spoof it to make them win. It automatically settles to a smart contract and then they run away with the money. If this was using like an Oracle system, well, then there would be kind of checks and verifications onto, well, what's that actual sort of trigger point with, you know, what determines who wins this lottery system? And you know, you can't just have one kind of person go in and do it. And like you said, with the price of Bitcoin, somebody could go in and kind of hack the feed of an exchange. So you need to have, you know, multiple price feeds all kind of corroborating with each other with confidence scores that this is an accurate signal to be able to kind of execute a transaction on. So it's a wildly important thing that, yeah, like pretty much only Chainlink and you guys and maybe a few others have capitalized on this, but you guys are the fastest growing Oracle. And Oracle's are those who are like kind of solving this issue. And so right now, I think in the past couple months, and you give me the exact numbers, I think you grew from about $3 billion to around $4.5 billion of total value secured. Tell us about this growth and just kind of how you've been digesting this this kind of ascent.
Very good one. So reliability is crucial for oracles, as you mentioned. So many times we always try to have many sources of data. So if there is a single point of failure, we can go to the second one or the third one and so on. Sometimes it's inevitable. Like, for example, IB01 is produced by a specific API and you cannot like fetch from plenty of those. Redstone as the Oracle is unique in a sense that we created a modular design. How Chainlink was designed in 2018, which is, by the way, 6 years ago, crazy, right? They created a pretty monolithic pipeline that is deployed to every single chain and replicated to any new chain. That's the reason it's pretty hard to scale. I would call it not necessarily super scalable. When Jacob, who is a very seasoned engineer with over 20 years of experience, ex-smart contract auditor with Open Zeppelin, CTO of a couple of startups before, wanted to crack the Oracle architecture, he said, okay, let's keep data off-chain as long as possible, because off-chain means it's cheaper and usually easier to tweak, and then optimize the way it's delivered on-chain. So we have like four modules: data sourcing, data node operators, data aggregation, and data delivery module. And all the three first ones are off-chain. So it doesn't touch the on-chain environment, which makes it just cheaper and easier to tweak as new technology appears on the market. So we can keep updating and innovating on that front. Thanks to that, we are the only Oracle providing both the push and the pull Oracle model, which are the two most popular models on the market. Chainlink is the Chainlink popularized the push model back in 2020, which is essentially like this. You take data, you aggregate it from various sources, and you deliver it onto the on-chain environment with intervals. And usually the triggers are time interval. So for example, every 24 hours, or the deviation from the previous update. So on-chain, an update is 1,000. The deviation threshold is 1%. So the moment in off-chain environment, it's 1,010 or 10.1. Then you update it again on-chain. So you kind of inherently accept there is a a not accurate value on-chain, and you accept this 1% deviation as the inaccuracy by this design, which is very convenient for the developers because it lives in on-chain storage, but it's not super scalable from the design perspective. We also offer that model because this is what developers like a lot. But the other model that we believe is more innovative is the pull Oracle. And the logic of pull Oracle is very simple. Blockchains don't need the data. The data is needed by smart contracts, so essentially the dApps themselves. So let's create the trigger condition for on-chain update the user transaction a specific dApp. So the moment you utilize a dApp, for example, Gearbox is using Redstone, the moment you sign transaction on Gearbox, then Gearbox quickly fetches the data from Redstone environment, attaches it to the transaction of a given user, and then the user itself delivers the data on-chain together with the transaction to be executed. So the whole flow, I would call it an on-demand flow, because only when there is a true demand for a data feed, this is the moment it's being delivered by the actual user that requires the data to execute the transaction. And you're right that this year, beginning of the year, we had half a billion total value secured, which is one of the major metrics for Oracles. And today we are at 4.5 billion total value secured. It's very much dependent also on the prices of them on the market, right? Like, if Bitcoin and ETH appreciates, naturally the number is higher as well. And we are serving over 100 clients at the moment.
That's pretty wild. Just the explosive growth. What was it like kind of raising money in this environment as we're not really in that full on bull market mode, but we're out of the bear market? Did you find that investors were really, really excited, or was it kind of like pulling teeth and you really needed to convince people and you kind of got, you know, less than you were expecting or anything like that? What was kind of the experience?
I would say every founder is going to tell you a different story. But being transparent over here, it was like medium difficulty. For sure, it wasn't the easiest path, but also it wasn't like squeezing all our resources just to make sure that we closed the round. One thing that all investors pretty appreciated a lot is a very big market. So Oracle's is undoubtedly a big and potentially growing market. And we are a player that captures more and more, chunk of the pie that is present over there. Second thing that is unique for Redstone is we are builders-driven company. So 75% of our staff are engineers with over 20 years of experience. Mainly, we're in Poland, so we have really good developer powerhouse, as we discussed before the episode. And the third reason is we have a very lightweight architecture. So the moment there is an innovative technology on the market available, then we can pretty quickly incorporate that into our flow. So to give you an example, actually we are recording it a day before we are going to announce our AVS testnet on top of EigenLayer. And we are the only major Oracle with billions of dollars that we secure that tap into restaked security as well, because we believe restaking is a very good use case for Oracles at large.
I mean, I think that's awesome, first of all. I'm also curious, what goes into growing as an Oracle project? Because, you know, you kind of mentioned it. It's a hard space to penetrate into. But you all have done this great job of expanding. I mean, you said, I think, $500 million in total value secured. Now you're pushing $4.5 billion, almost $5 billion. You've become the third largest Oracle in the crypto ecosystem. And there's been a lot of projects out there who have tried to do exactly what you're doing, and a lot have failed. But here you all are at Redstone and you're succeeding and you're making it work. You know, what is, I don't want to spill too many of your secrets. I was going to say, what's the secret sauce? You know, give us the Krabby Patty formula here, but you know, what has allowed you to do that? You know, what has allowed you to be successful? Do you think it's a mix of the clients that you're working with, just being super pleased? Is it you have an edge in technology that maybe other groups don't have? Or yeah,
Oracles is a tough nut to crack. In a sense, on one hand, you should keep growing because you want to expand your clientele. But on the other, you want to not grow too fast, because then you are touching the danger zone of potentially, you know, making a mistake or leaving not the top security measures when you're creating a new product. So there is always this kind of like a fight in your brain and roadmap, like how many clients you should onboard and how many you're confident with.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I would say we have three things that helped us a lot. One is Jacob being ex smart contract auditor. So he always has had security as number one thing, whatever he's doing. So he would never take a product decision or like go-to-market decision that would hinder the security or reliability of our platform. And this is important because we've seen many of our early competitors that couldn't find the well product market fit or, you know, new clients that were taking two risky bets, and then it ended up with, you know, not the best results, let's call it. Second is we are super hungry. So majority of our team, like the way I at least recruit for the go-to-market team, is you want to revolutionize the Oracle space and you want to dedicate yourself in that mission, which means you do extra research, you follow up on all the calls, you do crazy amount of work. So instead of creating this call, let's say, super seasoned guard of people, we usually recruit the more hungry and truly dedicated young talent. The third reason is the architecture. As mentioned, this modular design actually is very good mode. The reason for that is even some people try to replicate many of our parts of the system, but oracles are very complicated from the infrastructure perspective. So it's hard to copy one-to-one like what you've created, right? And like operate it also with the same security standards in general.
Outside of DeFi, what are the use cases that you can kind of walk us through where Redstone might come to bear? Is that social? Is that going to be on, you know, decentralized, media and decentralized networks like that? Or are you looking at other use cases?
This is a very interesting question. We've been asking ourselves for over 3 years right now. And I will be honest, we are super pragmatic at Redstone. So we ask ourselves where people want us, like where they truly need our services. And it turns out that DeFi is still like the bread and butter. And my personal philosophy is that even if blockchain would end up revolutionizing just DeFi, it's big enough market to, you know, nail that one part, because like financial systems coordinate the world. And this is the largest industry that is present like globally, right? So it's a fair shot with the technology. But looking at other solutions than DeFi, I'll probably go into social. We are talking with the major social networks right now on the market to also create some interesting pipelines over there. For example, wallet credit scoring and like dynamically allowing better loan to value ratio or some other aspects in DeFi based on the positions that you closed in the past. So to see that you're a mature actor in the DeFi space, right? To allow you a little bit more. It's not easy because you don't have the KYC ultimately. So if things go bananas, you cannot take anyone responsible for a specific loan. But I would say this credit scoring is one of the use cases that I see a lot of potential in. And another one is sentiment data. So AI has become a thing, like we cannot deny it. And we are also looking at how to incorporate potentially AI into our system. And sentiment data on Twitter, now X, and other platforms can be also a very valuable source of information that an oracle could deliver on chain.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you brought up AI, because in the last year or two, there's been this huge push to integrate AI into everything that we can. And I think that this is another perfect opportunity of where AI can fit in and really complement the existing structure that we already have. So, you know, I like that. I definitely want to hear more about it, but I want to roll back to some of the projects and the companies that you all work with. I was looking at, I saw that you guys help out with like EtherFi and Lido and a bunch of other big players, you know, but are you only servicing DeFi-based companies, or are you also working with TradFi companies that might want to kind of work their way in as well?
First, about the AI, I agree that AI is going to play a really big role in Oracle's long term. But again, I put on my hat of being cautious. Oracles are ultimate, like what Oracle is going to deliver, that smart contract is going to execute. So you probably shouldn't allow AI model to feed the data, because many times we don't know how the AI model is going to behave, right? So the way we will be first, and actually we are already doing that, incorporating AI into our system is more for outliers detection, like significant, I would say, anomalies that are happening in our model.
Finding all the anomalies and things that are like, hey, this is a red flag. This looks totally bizarre, and kind of spotting that.
Exactly, but rather than for either a human or an algorithm that we know how behaves to react on top of that, right? Because so that the final, let's say, trigger in the decision or an output is not produced by an AI, because that's something you just cannot predict, and this is dangerous for an oracle, but rather like an algorithm that you created and you know exactly how it's going to work when you give it a specific input, for example, or a human being to counter like react.
And I like that you look through everything through the lens of security. You're going to say, you know, I want to make sure that this is secure and reliable and safe. And that is the lens that you look through and kind of filter everything through. And I think that's exactly what anything that works with data, anything that works with anything like this, it needs to have that approach. So I'm glad that you do. Some people would say, oh, it's more efficient. Just do it that way. Throw AI at it. It's more cost effective. Just let AI do it. We've already seen, I've seen the headlines about, you know, different companies saying, oh, we're going to replace X amount of employees this year through AI. But no, you're saying, hey, this needs to be done right. It needs to be done securely and safely. And we want to make sure that this is done the right way, even if there maybe is more efficient or more optimized ways to doing it. There could be flaws there, and the flaws are not worth paying the price for. And I think that that in itself is valuable.
Well, we are right now protecting almost $5 billion. Honestly, yeah. If we screw up, my friends will probably not be able to pay it up for me. So we really need to be cautious about how we operate the business. But about the DeFi protocols and institutions, we do serve increasingly more and more institutions. And there are two reasons for that. One, very simple, institutions started to embrace DeFi, like blockchain environments more and more, right? So just the pool of clientele is bigger. And two, we as an organization are maturing a lot. So we grew our team after the raise. We also understood like what are the pain points and areas where we can shine with those institutions. And to bring up one is basically this holistic security approach, but also consulting them what makes sense, what doesn't. Because many times you just have to educate those people about what's possible and what was, how you call it in English, sky in the pie? Pie in the sky, sorry. And like someone just sold them. Sorry, I'm not a native English speaker. But
you know. No worries.
About institutions, we work with, for example, with CoinDesk Indices and CoinFund. And we are the only Oracle delivering Caesar staking rate on chain, which is a standardized staking rate that can potentially in the future work similar to SOFR for traditional markets. For listeners, SOFR is a rate upon which banks borrow and lend to each other in traditional markets. It's super important rate. It basically gives like a benchmark, like a standardized benchmark, how these banks should, you know, interact with each other in terms of like borrowing and lending to between each other. And this Caesar can have a very similar effect in the long term for on-chain lending and borrowing activities. Another one is one of the biggest fintechs in Europe that I still cannot reveal. I don't know when exactly is going to be the podcast is going to be published, but we are increasingly working with the corporations. And here I want to actually say two words of respect to Chainlink, because also so you understand, like Redstone mission is not to overtake Chainlink by any means. No, like we want to serve builders and the market the best way we can. Chainlink is doing a fantastic job in growing the pie. They are the ones that go to institutions and they also try to educate. They are a way larger organization than ours, and they try to bring new business to the blockchain ecosystem, which is net positive for everyone, naturally. But some of the clients we can be potentially better positioned to serve or deliver it more quickly as a specific company might need. So also about Chainlink, we as Redstone have a huge respect to their team. They've been out in the trenches for years and they haven't had many incidents. Like there were some, but naturally at scale, it's not so easy to keep like zero problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like reality, you know, life is full of risks and nobody's going to be perfect. No system is going to be 100% flawless. One of the things I was kind of thinking was, you know, from your vantage point, just like you guys really are, you know, a hotspot of just so many different data points and so many different users. And, you know, you see smart contracts. I guess my question is, looking at like all of the data that you guys have, what do you think is the most important to look at when it comes to forecasting prices, when it comes to forecasting where the market might be trending over the course of the next month or 2 months or something? Because again, when you have so much data, you know, somebody's going to be able to come and take this and put some algorithms around it and get some, you know, decent insights, whether that's, you know, smart contract usage. I think, you know, like you guys would be able to see, oh, there's more smart contract usage on this chain relative to this chain. So that could be an early indicator of momentum, or look at all these contracts that are being deployed on this chain versus this chain. What do you guys kind of track in along those lines?
Very interesting question. And it's a tempting business to start utilizing all the data that we have for predicting, you know, prices or creating like some models. But frankly speaking, we resisted that temptation. The reason is, and I'm going to be boring, security. So this is a distraction, right? Like it's another branch of your business that you have to keep maintaining and expanding. And we want to be the best Oracle on the market in terms of reliability, security, and also service to the clients. Like actually right now, by the time the episode is going to go out, maybe it's going to be already delivered. I'm working on a builder net promoter score. So builder NPS for Redstone, because we hear from almost all of our clients, hey, you're really good to work with. Like whenever we have any problem, you react quickly. You're also open to ideating and telling us what makes sense and what doesn't. If something doesn't make sense, we are not afraid telling the client, hey, this is stupid. Like it's going to cost too much money. Don't go that path. Pivot, like try to do something else, right? Because, and sometimes they tell us, hey, we were talking with another player and they were like promising, yeah, you know, one day, maybe it's going to be okay or not. And we are usually blunt about it because look, like we are, I would say, pretty open people also about the innovation and stuff. Talking about the predictions, we would way more likely cooperate with a company like, again, Nansen, maybe Kaito, maybe something, someone else who specializes in utilizing that data to do meaningful insights and predictions going to the future, right? So to summarize all of that, we want to be the best Oracle, and this is where we put 100% of our resources and focus right now at, because this is also where we get a lot of product market feedback. We have more clients than we can consume every single week. So this is also an indicator.
No, I think that's great. And you know, we always want to make sure that people get directed in the right direction, whether that's socials, whether that has anything related to the project itself. So does Redstone have a token attached to it?
Redstone does not have a token attached to it yet. So there will be a Redstone token at one point utilized to decentralize our network of data providers and node operators. I cannot naturally, like when token is going to launch soon, the traditional answer. But what I can tell you is that we are increasingly growing our platform and getting more and more confident about, you know, being, you know, more open about launching a token at a certain point.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll be here hopefully to let all of our listeners here at Crypto 101 know when that will be. We'll have you back on, Marcin. But until then, where can people follow along on the journey? Are you guys mostly on Telegram, Discord, Twitter, all the above?
Yeah. So Twitter X is our major platform. Recently, we broke 200,000 followers, which we are proud of because we do it organically, not like many projects. Yeah. I mean,
you guys are built, not bought.
Yes, no bots. Like we do have points program, which, okay, maybe if you deem not organic, then it's a different game, but we haven't paid for any of the followers, which I increasingly learned that is a game for many of other players in the market. We have very active Discord where people are engaged and create content. Recently, for example, people were creating breakdance competition videos with Redstone, which is also pretty interesting. The community is vivid. And the most I would like to invite the listeners to join the Redstone Expedition. Right now we have a season 2 of the expedition. If you go to redstone.finance, you're going to see it on the navbar expedition, and all the explanation of quests and aspects are explained over there.
Wonderful. Incredible. Well, hey, we can't wait to see all the great developments and hopefully parabolic growth that Redstone Finance has here in the upcoming bull market. But until next time, please take care. And thank you for being a good steward of this technology and building you know, some great, secure, responsible DeFi oracles. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for having me. And I hope by the next time you're having us, we will be maybe even number 2 on the Oracle space. Who knows?
Woo! Let's do it. Peace.
save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.